And we're back. Welcome to the friendliest, happiest podcast in the world. A little behind the scenes for you guys. Welcome to Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I am your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
Also Mike.
You might hate me right
fuming.
Now. We started off our meeting today with a heated 20-minute discussion about the Giants' draft strategy and what would best benefit them.
You're right. Mom and Dad just had an argument right before company arrived.
I don't think we're
friends. And you're all the children.
But it's proper because we're not doing football. We're doing something a little
more basketball.
Yeah, we're doing basketball today. The da 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 da. Since we can't use the copyrighted music, I'll provide them all. That and Round Ball Rock by John.
Tell me he doesn't sound like Peter Griffin.
That's the NBA. But yeah, we're doing basketball movies today to commemorate March Madness. And
I like the key change for the NBA in college.
To get out of the Peter Griffin vocal range. Yeah, we're doing basketball movies today. It's more of a ridiculous episode, more so than Oscar-centric. We said we're going to sprinkle these in from time to time. And
it's amazing how much work went into the ridiculousness, though.
Listen, you're going to hear some categories, and it's basically an award show for basketball-centric movies. And we do tie in Oscar stuff towards the end. But also, Mike did a hell of a job of preparing this. There are some nominees out here that I had not thought of in years.
Still mad at you.
If ever. Yeah, well, that's the only compliment you're getting this whole episode, so enjoy it. So let's dive right into it. This is also Mike's game. How this is going to work is much in the same realm that our pre-Oscars,
the superlative thing.
I couldn't think of it. Go ahead.
Essentially, it's I made up a bunch of categories for basketball movies, from documentaries to all the fictional narrative form movies that we've seen out there. I've also mixed in some kind of, you know, best commercials, best. I'll keep it a secret for now. So essentially, we're through the first weekend of March Madness. The NBA is making its push towards the playoffs for your Celtics. You've been very proud of your team. They're overperforming this year a little bit.
And the wheels are starting to fall off a little bit. But yes, very, very love the Celtics. Big Celtics fan. We had the historic.
I'm so sorry for you.
Mike is a lifelong Knicks fan. So he's had a little less fun this season.
Well, I have something to root for as well because as a tortured Knicks fan, I'm rooting for them to lose.
Right.
So that
yeah,
we could tank. So we basically
lost. And
this
is a loaded draft class, too, if anyone out there is an NBA
fan. Well, this
is
the thing. We've lost like 15 out of the last 17 games or something ridiculous like that. And we're still in the ninth place.
Yeah, because everybody, the bottom half of both standings just keeps
losing. It's a tankapalooza.
For those of you that aren't following March Madness, where there was a very historic upset, a 16 seed has never beaten a 1 seed. That just happened 2 nights ago.
Yes.
University of Maryland, Baltimore County upset the number one overall seed. Virginia had never happened before in the history of sports. That was a big deal.
UConn women beat a team like 140 to 50.
Set the record for most points scored in an NCAA women's tournament game.
Our favorite from Connecticut there. But also, you know, fantasy basketball is into its playoff stretch. I am losing in the process of being eliminated today.
Are you?
Well, I have like my four best guys got hurt this week.
Yeah, that's what I bet. I bet.
The tankapalooza.
We're in the same fantasy basketball league. I had a terrible season. Also, Mike is trying to claw back into this playoff race.
I'm down by 600 points, so I'm not going to win.
Also, Mike has lost his playoff game. So that's what we're doing. We're going to do this, try to incorporate some basketball into this movie pod, have a fun little episode for everyone out there.
If a Saquon Barkley conversation erupts, it might be the end of all things.
We will not be having a football podcast.
No. All right, so Mike, I'm basically going to ask you questions. You give me your answer, and there's no wrong answers for this pod. The movie pod that we did about 2017 superlatives, there are correct and incorrect answers.
Yes, yes.
This pod, there's really no correct or incorrect answers.
We'll see about
that. We're biased because we like the Boston and New York. I think we're a little biased. However, even though, you know, I think I give some love to some other towns and other basketball cities.
All right.
So we'll see. All right. Favorite ESPN 30 for 30 college basketball documentary. A lot of good ones out there. Guru of Go, The Fab Five, Requiem for the Big East, I Hate Christian Laettner, Phi Slamma Jamma, One and Not Done, Survive in Advance. Now, just to give you a quick word, Valvano and NC State was Survive in Advance, looking for somebody to hug, like you said. One and Not Done was John Calipari and the Kentucky kids and Memphis kids. Phi Slamma Jamma, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Clyde Drexler. I Hate Christian Laettner is about the feud with the media and how everybody hated Christian Laettner making game-winning shots.
Yeah.
Requiem for the Big East was like the founding of the Big East. John Thompson, Boeheim, all those guys.
I'll talk about it in a second.
Guru of Go is about Paul Westhead and the Loyola Marymount team, basically starting a fast break basketball kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a human interest story. I think one of the team members died during the season. So this is what's interesting about this pod overall, right, is that if you aren't a fan of basketball movies or sports movies in general, or you don't watch a lot of documentaries, we're kind of giving you options that you can see. We're pointing you towards the more entertaining one, the more zany off-the-wall ones, the more serious subject ones, stuff that's worth your time in the sports realm. So if you are feeling to get a little closer with March Madness, or you want to flex your basketball muscles a little more, you could listen to this. And
it's true. These have some crossover appeal, these movies. Oh, for sure, movies.
Without question. And we're going to dip into the you know, pop culture, music realms, all that. But for this category, best 30 for 30 college basketball documentary, here's where I disqualify some things. Mm-hmm. Requiem for the Big East is bullshit because it made it seem like only Georgetown and Syracuse existed, and I'm a UConn grad. Did not talk about Calhoun basically at all.
Not at all. That's a sin. Well, they talked about kind of the conference taking shape more than anything else.
I loved all the championships that Syracuse and Georgetown have won since 1999. Five Slamma Jamma was good. It was before my time, so the cultural resonance wasn't that big with me. Same with Guru of Go. I was a little kid when that was going on over in the West Coast, so I didn't know much about it. I hate Christian Laettner. I think everybody did. It's amazing how the media kind of butted heads in the early 90s with this guy that in this day and age would be a Twitter star. Everyone would hate him because he's on Duke. He reminded me of Tyler Hansbrough in a way from UNC back in the day.
And he just hit daggers against everybody, including Kate George and the Huskies.
Yeah, and it breaks my heart. I'm going to go, I think, with the Fab Five. I thought it was really well done. It was interesting that Chris Webber, who was maybe the most famous one, wanted no part of it. There's a lot of background drama. I remember Jalen Rose kind of talking about it. I can't remember if it was a Simmons pod. And those are the guys that are also doing the Andre the Giant documentary coming out April 10th on HBO. Yeah, okay, so nice. Excited to see that. What about you? What'd you have for best 30 for 30 college basketball?
I did laugh a lot at I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with the comedy choice here right off the bat. I'm the furthest from a Duke fan like you are.
Yes. Yes, we both hate. Well, both Duke maybe and Christian Laettner.
We're not the furthest because UNC fans, but we are UConn fans and we don't like Duke at all.
It's more of a jealousy than it is a grudge.
Jealousy?
Yeah, they're very good.
They're in a big conference
UConn
still.
UConn hasn't won things.
We're jealous of a lot of people right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. Best 30 for 30 basketball off-court drama. You have Without Bias about the draft pick Len Bias. Unguarded, which is about another Celtics draft pick, Chris Herron, and drug addiction.
Pick 'em, huh?
Yeah. Benji, which is about a prospect gunned down in Chicago. Jesus. Down in the Valley, which is about the Sacramento Kings staying in Sacramento. I haven't seen this one, honestly. I think I've seen bits and pieces.
Sure.
Once Brothers, about Vlade Divac, Petrovic, Yugoslavian national team. And I put it in here because it's also about their Civil War. Mm-hmm. The Announcement, which was about Magic Johnson and AIDS, HIV. And No Crossover, which was about the trial of Allen Iverson.
So this is all the happy movies.
I'm getting these out of the way.
Death.
I should have played a violin throughout
franchise
that
franchise moving, death and civil war, HIV, Allen Iverson.
Yes.
I'm Benji was one of the saddest stories. I remember watching that. Just broke my heart. I'm a Celtics fan. It's without bias. It's still without bias. Len Bias, to every Celtics fan, Len Bias would still be playing in the league even though it was 40 years later.
I do agree with you because I thought that was very well made because they really did a lot about his basketball ability. Heartbreaking at the end. Okay, moving on because that's sad.
Best
30 for 30 about the NBA. So now we got some...
Going pros, where the college kids hope to be someday.
Yes, now we got some pro docs. Winning Time, which is about Reggie Miller beating the Knicks in like... 9 points in 16 seconds.
Yeah.
Bernie and Ernie, which is about Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld. You're not surprised because it's the other Nick documentary. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's another Nick documentary. When the Garden Was Eden. It was about the 70s Knicks championships. All right, getting a little more unbiased. This Magic Moment about Shaq and Penny, the early Orlando Magic there. Bad Boys, which is about the Detroit Pistons championships in the early 90s. and Celtics / Lakers best of enemies.
Yeah, it's Celtics Lakers, but it's a little unfair because all the other five choices were all one shot, kind of 1-2 hour documentaries. Celtics Lakers was given 6 hours, I think, across three nights when it aired on ESPN.
So we both picked that. Now, I guess, all right, so if we eliminated Celtics Lakers,
right,
would you pick another one?
Which is probably the right thing to do. I might go This Magic Moment because it talked a lot about the backstage negotiations between what led Shaq to leave Orlando and go to LA. And I am a sucker for GM
lawyering
stuff. Yeah, right. Exactly. So it, all that stuff fascinates me. That, and I don't want to give you the satisfaction of picking a Knicks property.
You know what? I think I like the Bad Boys one the best.
Really?
I love that documentary because that was the deep dive that they give you on how they played with Laimbeer and Rodman. I used to love those guys, just how they played
interesting
ball.
They were,
even though
they
I was a Knicks fan.
Dirty players,
just, here's the thing about...
use their bodies and roughed up opponents.
Here's the thing about that age of basketball. Now we have small forwards, which are the lengthier... They're the slasher forward, right?
Yeah.
They're the 3-and-D guy.
Yeah.
They're the finesse forward. Back then, you had a center who was 7-foot goon who would hit you.
Throw elbows.
You had a power forward who was a... who's the enforcer, and he would really follow you.
Yep.
And then you had a small forward, which was just a smaller power forward.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the way it was. It was Oakley and Mason.
Yep.
It was Rodman and Laimbeer.
Bird and McHale, yeah.
I mean, they would all follow you hard.
Those lows, late 80s, early 90s. And then they, basketball on such a,
both
not
Davises
even a movie level.
From the Pacers.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's changed overall. And it's, you know, the AAU, everybody's friends now growing up. Everybody knows each other. It's not that hatred and everybody wants it back. And I kind of do too. You love when teams just get fired up. Jeff Van Gundy hugging Alonzo Mourning's leg, the bottom of Mourning's leg during the Knicks Heat rivalries in the 90s. Oh my God. That's some of my favorite memories. Reggie Miller was on there too. He was the winning time with his battles with Spike Lee over the time. I remember that game, that Knicks-Pacers playoff game. My father had gone outside, and Reggie Miller did what he did, came back, won the game, and I go outside as like a 9-year-old kid, and he goes, how'd the game end? I go, the Pacers won. He goes, he's like, stop dead in his chair. He's like, what? He goes, how?
Yeah, no, thanks for bringing that
up. Could have been a good memory for you,
thanks,
I'm sure.
Thanks for bringing that up. I'm just remembering I was at my grandmother's, and I don't think I ate my grandmother's a beautiful Italian dinner after that because I was so upset. Because the game was on, like, the afternoon.
Yeah, yep.
All those playoff games were on at, like, 2 or 3 back then on weekends. That was, like, the time. But back to the Bad Boys, that era of those Pistons and those three sizes of goons,
yes,
Cartwright, Laimbeer, and Rodman, that basically, you know, parody formed every lineup for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it did. It certainly had a revolutionary effect on the game in its own right, which kind of went away from the stupid AAU stuff and everybody being buddy-buddy now.
All right, so cool. So that's best pro 30 for 30. Now we're going non-ESPN movies. So the best non-ESPN made basketball documentary about the NBA. Michael Jordan, IMAX. Kobe Doing Work, the Spike Lee joint.
Oscar winning Kobe Bryant.
Linsanity. The Year of Yao, about Yao Ming.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was about Jeremy Lin. Nowitzki, about Dirk Nowitzki, Dallas Mavericks. Magic and Bird, A Courtship of Rivals. And Iverson.
So, in 60 years, when our grandkids look back at stuff like this, and they see that Linsanity is a documentary that was made, they're going to be like, what and who the hell is Jeremy Lin?
I'm going to say it's the only good week I've had as a Knicks fan in the last 15 years.
That guy, that I have never seen. It was lightning in a bottle, and it was here and gone in 3 weeks. It was like, he was on the cover of Time, I'm pretty sure.
You think you and me text a lot. You should have seen the amount of text messages sent to me and my friends when Linsanity hit that shot against the Raptors.
Oh, my
God.
You
should have seen it.
It was unbelievable. I've never
my
seen anything
broke.
Like that. I've never seen anything like that.
Ludicrous. But
that said, I'm
not
going,
my winner.
Yeah, I'm going Magic Bird as well. But we already talked about Lakers Celtics, so I wanted to give Linsanity a little
what
time.
A great documentary that was, though. Magic and Bird, A Courtship of Rivals. They turned it into a Broadway play, I think.
Oh, really?
Or they're turning it into a Broadway play. I mean, it made me emotional, and I didn't understand that whole rivalry at all.
Yin and yang.
This
was
before
different personalities.
Celtics Lakers too.
Yeah, it was. Larry Bird is famous for saying he didn't like Magic, but Irvin is one of his best friends, and Irvin Magic Johnson, of course, is Magic Johnson.
So when they got together at the Dream Team, it was terrific.
Yeah,
it warms the heart. So if you're a non-basketball fan and you've made it this far in this podcast, Magic and Bird, a courtship of rivals.
First of all, congratulations. Second of all, yes, Magic and Bird.
Best non-ESPN made basketball doc, not about the NBA.
All right, so these are the documentaries that ESPN had no part in making that have nothing to do with pro basketball.
Littler to do with pro basketball.
Sure.
Almost to do with, you know, almost NBA, but it's mostly non-NBA. Hoop Dreams, about high school basketball in Chicago. More Than a Game was about LeBron James going through high school.
Drop it low, girl.
Disgraced, it was about Baylor basketball and Murder.
Yeah,
on Showtime.
Heavy.
The Heart of the Game, which is about high school girls basketball in a suburb of Seattle, which was pretty darn good. The Dream Team, which is about international basketball, so I put it here.
Sure.
Using NBA guys, that's why my...
That's fits.
And Perfect in 76, which I just watched, about Bobby Knight and the Indiana National Championship from 1976.
More Than a Game was good, except I don't know how much more LeBron I can take.
Oh, really?
he's everywhere, and rightfully so. He's probably the third greatest player of all time, second greatest. It depends on your ranking. Dream Team was good. It was an NBA TV property. Disgraced, I watched with my mouth open because...
That was very good.
That's my winner. It's a Showtime documentary about the Baylor men's basketball program in 2002-2003. If you think college basketball is corrupt and even the coaches aren't involved, you need to watch. It is a disgusting story of what happened and how the administration from the top down failed these kids to protect these kids.
That guy's
kids.
Still lying.
Oh, my God. It's great. Yeah. He lied. I mean, I don't want to ruin it, but yes, disgusting.
There's liars in that movie. I am torn between the Dream Team, which is always on MSG, like before or after the Knicks game.
Sure.
Or The Heart of the Game, which I just watched.
It's an interesting story.
About the high school girls basketball. I loved The Heart of the Game, and I think I'm going to choose it because, you know.
That's the coach in you.
Yeah, I work with kids. And
teamwork and coming together.
I do coach young high school kids, and yeah, that made me feel good. He's a good coach for the most part. He's a little unorthodox, but I got caught up with it. And it's a hell of a story, and the craziest thing about it is it goes for six years. That's amazing. Like, was it somebody's parent, or was this like a documentary filmmaker saying, okay, I'm going to chronicle this girls' basketball team from now until I have a story?
And do basically boyhood the basketball version for
high
school
but
girls.
So six years in a row, he follows the team until, you know, till the story really develops. So that was fascinating to me. Okay, moving on. Best documentary, most important category on the day. Best documentary about the Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers. June 17th, 1994, which is about OJ, the Knicks, and the Knicks Rockets.
That's a 30 for 30 property.
30
yes.
for 30. I probably should have put that up earlier, but I already had three Knicks movies.
you showed your hand a little.
When the Garden was Eden.
Of course.
70s Knicks championships. Probably should like this one the most. Linsanity, about that one magical week. Bernie and Ernie, about those two great players in the 80s, and Winning Time, which is about Reggie Miller. But what I like the most about Winning Time, it's not just about Reggie Miller. No, it's about that. It's chronicling that whole rivalry.
Yeah.
Knicks-Pacers rivalry and the Knicks-Bulls rivalry even with that.
It is.
And it was fun because it got into Reggie Miller versus Spike Lee.
It's a better world in the NBA when the Knicks are good. I will admit that because those were, you know, Knicks Pacers, Knicks Bulls, Knicks Heat were some of the biggest and most fun games to watch growing up because they weren't even basketball games. They were just basically jailhouse fights.
It was a goon battle. It was a goon battle with Michael Jordan involved.
Right.
So, I could agree with that. I'm going to pick first here because they're my team and to hug my hat. I'm going to take Winning Time. And it's as painful as it is, it's the best documentary. So don't say I don't have any critical integrity, folks. I picked the most painful one.
I think he's crying.
There's something in my eyes.
you can't argue with winning time. I'm going to go June 17th, 1994, because that is just a random day in history where so much was going on. How many times is the NBA Finals game 5 or 6 or whatever it was?
All of that was just bluster that I just said, because that is more painful to me than winning time, because John Starks should have shot that extra one. Yeah. Pass the ball.
Yeah. Starks, great defender. I'm going to say this is a hot take. More harm than good for your Knicks teams. Just going to say that.
You're a GM guy. They signed him off the freaking playground, my friend. They paid him nothing. They're still paying him, actually. But he was like the greatest sixth man in a while because he came off the bench unconscious, shooting threes and nailing them. You don't know of what you speak, and you need to be quiet.
Okay.
John Starks, more harm than good. He shouldn't have been in that position.
But, all right, never mind. I'm not going to give Allen Houston a max contract.
I can't believe we're talking about this. Oh, God, it's still painful. It's still right there on the surface.
Now let's talk about
I see Patrick Ewing missing the finger roll now.
And Chuck Smith just constantly banging against the rim.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about a team that matters. A team that brings joy.
You may have to take this one.
The best documentary done about the Celtics. A terrible story without bias. The demise of Len Bias. We talked about it in 33. Magic and Bird, A Courtship of Rivals, we already touched on. Celtics Lakers, Best of Enemies was a 3-part 30 for 30 documentary series. Banner Years, The History of the Boston Garden. That's it. So what do you want to go ahead? I'll let you take the floor. Maybe you can find some happiness.
All right. Well, I did enjoy these documentaries and all four of them, actually. I remember seeing that Boston Garden. I threw that one lately because I just saw it like a year ago. Celtics Lakers is great. The problem is it a documentary film or is it a TV series?
It's both. I think it's both. I mean, they use historical footage, they use historical interviews. It's certainly not fictitious. I know it may seem that way because no team should be allowed to be that great in the Celtics, but
in 2016, there might not have been better television than Celtics.
It was really good. Yeah, and that was kind of the precursor, I think, if I'm remembering right, to the OJ.
Was it before?
Made in America series. I'm pretty sure it was. Don't quote me on that.
I don't remember if it was before or after.
I remember that was like 30 for 30's first foray into a multi-part thing. And it came off really well. I'm with you. It was Celtics Lakers for me. It was just very informational, very jam-packed and dramatic. Goes all the way back to the 50s about Minneapolis and Boston. It was really good.
True story. All right, so we're moving from documentaries into live-action films.
Here we go. The actual cinematic classics.
Yes. So that was a long, painful journey through basketball reality. My basketball reality. You have a happier basketball reality.
Lenny Bias was tough.
Yeah, but you weren't alive.
No, I wasn't. I didn't.
Yeah, you were alive for Reggie Lewis, though.
Reggie Lewis was there.
Yeah, oh, God. How do we start this off on such a sour note? Okay.
We'll see you later.
Now we get to the narrative ones. He Got Game, Spike Lee, Ray Allen, Denzel Washington, Hoosiers, Gene Hackman, a lot of white people, Blue Chips, Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, Nick Nolte as the coach.
That film, and you're going to see, ahead of its time, way ahead of its time.
Yes. Air Bud.
Also ahead of its time.
But a dog playing basketball.
Dogs not playing basketball yet.
Space Jam, which is about Michael Jordan, and the Looney Tunes versus the Monstars.
The Monstars.
Which was all the other NBA players.
Well, it was a collection of aliens that they took the power from certain NBA players like Muggsy Bogues, Charles Barkley.
Patrick Ewing. Yes. Fast Break, which is a Bill Simmons favorite 70s movie starring Bernard King and a girl who pretends to be a guy on a college basketball team, and it's very like...
Think of Amanda Bynes, She's the Man.
Yeah, it's screwed up. It's screwed up. It doesn't hold up politically in terms of political correctness. The worst thing about that movie... And there's a lot of bad things. Mm-hmm. The worst thing is that nobody on the freaking court is a basketball player except Bernard King, who's like at the time
schooling people.
One of the top 10. But it's horrible to watch because he is holding back like so much.
Right, right.
And he's trying to play competitively.
His co-actors like slapping at the ball to dribble it. Meanwhile,
and it's terrible. And then they let him score like 3 baskets in the game.
That's it. Here's your check, Bernard. Thanks for showing up.
It's just so bad. Coach Carter with Samuel L. Jackson and Rob Brown. Pretty good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Another movie of that same vein. There was a kind of a bunch of them that came out at the same time. Glory Road, which is about the true story about the team that Texas Western that defeated Kentucky with the first all African American starting lineup. Semi pro Will Ferrell, but
not
the,
a true story.
Not a true story about the ABA, or was it? Perhaps? White Men Can't Jump. Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes,
Rosie Perez.
Perez, pretty good movie. The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio, Lorraine Bracco.
I'm pretty sure that was based on
a book, right?
What the fuck was the guy named? The guy from Unguarded.
Oh, really? It's about Leo becomes a drug addict.
Yeah, it's the same type of story. I don't know if it was based on him directly or not, but
I haven't seen it in years. I watched clips of it that just made me squirm.
Yeah,
Like Mike.
Also made me squirm.
Little Bow Wow and the kid from Jerry Maguire, the blonde
Jonathan
kid.
Lipnicki.
When
the human head weighs 8
right
pounds.
On the edge of his cuteness. He's not going to be cute 2 years later, and he falls off the face.
We got to get one more film out of Lipnicki.
Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox.
Sure.
I cannot remember that movie very well. I probably should have rewatched it.
I think he turns into a lizard.
He turns into something. And he beats up a bunch of snotty white guys, I remember. All right, Juana Man, which I cannot hold up. I did not rewatch this one either.
He also turns into a lizard?
There's no
way. Yeah, Juana Man's a tough rewatch.
There's no way it holds up, or I don't know, maybe it does. Maybe it's ahead of its time. I didn't rewatch it. I watched it 10 years ago, perhaps.
Yeah.
Celtic Pride,
That didn't hold up when it came out.
Right. And I will shake my head equally for Eddie.
Yeah, those are our kind Whoopi of our Goldberg. Black of our fanhoods. That's our black marks in film history.
Yeah, but the weird thing is, like, the Knicks were good when they made it about the Knicks, and the Celtics were actually kind of bad when they made it about the Celtics.
Terrible, yeah.
So, like, it was like a weird time to make a
Celtic Pride focused on a Celtics Jazz NBA Finals during, like, the Dino Raja years.
What I'm trying to say is your movie somehow worked the opposite direction and gave you good luck going forward.
Well, the Knicks should have hired Whoopi Goldberg.
And the Knicks. No, but the Knicks were good, and then they were terrible after that.
Right.
So I have to look at the timing. I have to look at, I have to follow the astral charts.
I just remember
Eddie. And I have to see if Eddie's to blame.
Olden Polynes talking about what a black hole was.
Olden Polynes.
Yeah. How's that for a flashback?
I'd take Olden Polynes on the Knicks right now. Okay, moving on. One-on-One, Robbie Benson movie that my dad basically annoyed me into watching after years of telling me, oh, you got to see One-on-One. No, it's not good. Dad, you're wrong.
All right.
None of those 70s basketball movies are good.
They don't travel well.
No, they don't. It's bad. It's bad. The coach is such a, like, over-the-top dick. He reminded me of the Lethal Weapon, like, commissioners.
Okay.
You can't be, you know.
Handing your badge in.
You can't keep causing this damage. Just getting mad at him all the time. That's the coach. It was just such an over-the-top dick. He was like the coach of the Cobra Kai.
Sweep the leg, kid. Danny.
Yeah, he's just such a jerk. Basketball.
One of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Pretty funny.
Home Runs from Behind the Maples.
Scatman, great soundtrack.
Be-ba-ba-ba-da-boop.
Rebound, which is about...
You have some movies on this list,
man.
Oh, my
God. What's his name? Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence coaches a girls' basketball team.
I've seen this movie
years ago. I agree. I haven't. I didn't rewatch it.
Same here. No, I've not seen it in quite some time.
This is why we can do this pod without any prep, because we've seen all these movies
throughout
the years. We have. Now, I did watch this for the first time, and you're going to make fun of me, rightfully so. Love and basketball.
I'm not going to make fun of you. Every girl, when fall comes... Pumpkin Spice Latte, the movie Hocus Pocus, Love and Basketball.
Have I never dated a girl in the fall?
That's all they talk about. That is the consistency. I don't know if that's sexist or what, but every female I've encountered or I've ever had interest in talking to, at least, that's it.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm very bullish on this movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought I was much better
than
I remember.
It's not a bad movie. I mean, it is what it is.
If it came out today, I think it would be pretty highly rated.
I enjoy Omar Epps.
All-State guy was his dad.
Yes, Dennis Hedberg.
Hurricane Season did a nice job with the Hurricane Katrina stuff, the Forrest Whitaker movie
from
2009, but it went direct to video for a reason. It's bad at basketball. It's family stuff, all the coach player stuff.
That's funny because wasn't 2009 just around Last King of Scotland? I think when he won his
Oscar. Yeah, you would have figured. And it looked like they were setting this up.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were setting this up to be a big release, you know, the next, you know, Remember the Titans, Glory Road kind of thing. Anyway, it didn't happen. Thunderstruck.
Should have gone right to video.
It was bad. I actually I watched this for the first time.
I'm so sorry about
that. It was bad. I kind of had it on in the background. Then I begrudgingly got through three quarters of it.
Like, I've come this far. Like,
I've come this far. I got to see what happens.
Who's the
goddamn
kid
who I hope I was rooting for to die? I was rooting for him to die.
The twist ending of Thunderstruck. The kid dies.
The kid dies. And the coach needed to be horsewhipped in front of everybody. He was the worst coach.
Horsewhipped?
Yeah, he's a piece of shit, Jim Belushi. I'll hate him in every movie forever. This is the worst coach ever. He just made me angry. Sorry, I apologize to all you folks.
Cancel Jim Belushi.
Finding Forrester, which is a basketball movie in a sense.
You're the man now, dog. The only thing I remember about Finding Forrester. Sean Connery saying that in the trailer.
Rob Brown, who was a good athlete in his own right, played college sports. The Air Up There, which I've seen in the 90s, and I don't remember
well.
I
don't think I've ever seen the
Kevin
Air Up
Bacon.
There.
I remember watching this at my grandmother's house.
Oh, this is the
house.
One he goes to, like,
Africa.
An African country
you've
or something.
Seen,
yeah,
you've
yeah,
seen
yeah, yeah. Okay,
it's,
sure.
It, it's
I have
on
seen
TV.
It way back, yeah.
And he recruits, and it's probably very racist today. I didn't rewatch it.
There
I
is
don't
no
remember.
Doubt in my mind it's racist today.
Yeah. So, okay, moving on. The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
We've watched clips of this.
An unbelievable
movie. It's like The Room
an unbelievable
of basketball
concept.
Movies.
We'll get into it.
Slam-a-Jamma, which is about a dunk contest. It looked kind of interesting until I saw it. Got a 0% on the tomato meter.
Killing it.
So I didn't watch it on Amazon.
Almost harder to do than getting a decent score.
I watched 12 clips of this next one on YouTube. I didn't watch the movie. Stars Sam Rockwell and Emma Roberts and Rooney Mara. It's called The Winning Season.
How did they get
and
these
it's pretty
three
screwed
people.
Up. Just the clips are ridiculous because
yeah.
he's like, women belong in the kitchen.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
First of all, Sam Rockwell, stop. Stop
this
with
was
the racism and the drunk.
Oh, he plays horrible
sexism,
people.
Sexism, just be a good guy on film. Yeah.
Okay, I tried to watch this next movie. It was a TV movie about Pistol Pete Maravich called The Pistol. It was on YouTube. It is on YouTube.
He
it's
was
in
a
terrible
wild character, yeah.
It's terrible quality, so I couldn't get through it. Just Right stars Queen Latifah and
Common. I can't
Common.
Believe you have this on here.
It's actually decent basketball-wise.
Okay.
Common can, like, move a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's bad. It's unwatchable.
When
I
think basketball movies,
through.
I would need like 3 weeks of prep time to get the Just Right. I'm amazed you have this on here.
Well, it was available.
Yeah,
was
no,
available
good for you. I might give you props.
Cornbread Earl and Me is another 70s movie starring one of those Lakers from the Lakers Celtics.
Anything about
I forget his name now.
Something named Cornbread Earl and Me.
Yeah, it wasn't bad when I was watching it, but the basketball was awful. They have, again, all these real NBA players.
Right. And which, the 70s were, like, notorious for just making these guys actors.
Yeah, but they don't film them, like, actually playing. And it's just, like,
or
nonsense.
Or they're doing slow motion.
They're doing
love
slow
soundtrack.
Motion. Like, give us a hook shot. And then the other guy's acting like he's faked out by the hook shot.
Like the slow nodding and the pointing.
In The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, there's a like a 3-minute dunking montage.
Right, but it's all slow motion.
Well,
to like
in this
Barry
movie,
White music.
In this movie, Cornbread Earl and Me, there's a pump fake montage where he just keeps pump faking
just
people.
Just big fundamentals.
Yeah, oh, the fundamentals, the pivot foot and the pump fake is like a 3-minute montage.
That's how you win.
And that's when I turned it off. The Sixth Man is a Marlon Wayans movie.
Fantastic
where
movie.
I've
just
seen it years
movie.
Ago. I don't remember a thing about it.
It's his brother dies and becomes like the Angels in the outfield to his own team.
Oh, is it basketball
yeah.
Angels in
basically,
the outfield?
Basically, yes.
Which is a big hit. All right. Forget Paris, which you had me add before the show here because
yes.
I didn't remember it, that it was a basketball movie, but there's a lot of NBA stuff because he was a referee.
Billy Crystal playing the NBA referee. He sends Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Very sadly, I when you told me this, I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen this 10 years ago. That's the saddest thing ever.
It's a weird construct. It's like done against the backdrop of this dinner between friends. Odd movie.
Okay, so now you folks know all the movies we're talking about. If I'm sorry if I didn't get to your movie. Like I scoured
if
the internet.
If we didn't get to your movie, you need to tell us what it is.
Yeah. Those are all the narrative basketball movies I could find. Okay, so best roster.
Okay, so we're doing, this is the team, the players that made up the actual team in the movie, if they were to play each other in a March Madness style bracket, who would have the best team?
You can answer it like that.
Okay.
I was kind of thinking more of in terms of ensemble performances, but You can answer it like
okay,
you
said. I'll take the basketball angle on it. Right, you take the actual movie angle on it.
Shaq, Penny, et cetera, from Blue Chips. Okay. A lot of real ball players. Bobby Hurley was in that movie, mm-hmm. too. The current coach of who?
Arizona State.
Hurley is Arizona State, and UConn's going after his brother, who's the coach of Rhode Island.
They should get Mark Few.
Okay, here we go. Michael Jordan, Ewing, Barkley, Bogues, Sean Bradley, et cetera, et cetera.
Do we get Bill Murray, stars?
And Bill Murray from, again, it's the world is your oyster, okay. from Space Jam.
All right.
Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. So if you're answering this question the way you want to answer it, you're not going to pick these guys from White Men Can't Jump. Mm-hmm. Denzel Washington and Ray Allen from He Got Game.
Okay.
And there was Walter McCarty. There was John Wallace. There was Travis Best, all guys we remember playing basketball back then. First-round draft picks. Sanaa Lathan and Omar Epps from Love and Basketball. Actually, some pretty good basketball in this movie.
Yeah, it was shot surprisingly well. I'm always impressed when I see that.
And all the short white guys from Hoosiers.
Okay. So first, let's take the movie aspect of it, like the movie angle. Who gave the best performances here for their total ensemble?
In my opinion, because Ray Allen is so bad and Denzel is so good, they kind of cancel each other out, whereas Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes are both plus, so I'm going with them in terms of performance.
Over Space Jam?
The performances? Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
But this is not the basketball angle, like you said, which is a very good point.
So how I'll do the basketball is if you take the top two from each of these, since there's some that are only two.
Oh, and like do Denzel a two-on-two
and
Ray, tournament.
And we'll do a two-on-two tournament.
NBA Jam.
I don't know who you take from Space Jam that's going to help. Jordan and Ewing would be tough in their prime. Jordan Ewing would be a good twosome. Denzel and Ray, Sanaa Lathan and Omar Epps. I think you'd have to take the entirety of the Hoosiers team to compete with these people, with some of these guys.
10-on-5.
Yeah. I'm going to take Shaq and Penny because those Magic teams back in the mid-90s.
Showing your age.
They should have won at least one title.
Well, I'm going to take MJ and Ewing and show my age.
Course.
I'm a little older
than
you.
Of course you do. And then you would be right and they would school my guys. And I'd just be disappointed Shaq would leave for L.A.
We'll have some more categories on basketball coming up.
We'll pump the brakes on it there. We give you a lot more basketball information than you probably ever needed to know from us.
Basketball information about our fandom. Basketball information about all these movies. I can't believe I came up with this many categories. We have to make a pause.
In essence, we're sorry. But we're not so sorry that we're not going to do it again. So
let's see what the hits are for episode 2, part 2.
Part 2. We're going to be doing even more ridiculous, off-the-cuff, off-the-walls, bizarre basketball categories and awards given out. We do get a little serious, too. You got a taste of that here.
We got some Oscar categories.
Yeah, we do it all through a lens. It's all this just for fun to keep
beautiful nonsense.
Spirit of the season. Beautiful nonsense. Great way of putting it. So make sure you're sticking with us. Reality Sucks. Do watch movies with us. Hit us up on Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, Mike and Oscar on Reddit, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com. We got the website coming soon. We are everywhere that you are. If you're typing away on your computer, surfing the interwebs, type in Mike and Oscar. You should be able to find us and reach out to us. We love talking with you guys on Twitter. And if you have any kind of movies or you have any thoughts about any awards thus far, or if you have any movies that we didn't talk about, which I cannot imagine, seeing as also Mike put together a beautifully comprehensive list, let us know.
Listen, we lied, and we actually went back, and we're editing this ending in. Part 2 is going to be good, so show up for part 2. It's pretty good. Yeah, we have fun.
It gets.
We laugh a lot. Mike will actually spit entire Public Enemy lyrics, like for a while. He knows the whole song. It's pretty good.
You know, I thought everyone did. He's not wrong. So, yes, be sure to check out part 2. It's coming in a couple days.
The magic of editing.
It gets a little zany, and it's worth your time. Absolutely.
Palate cleanser. It's fun.
Like we said, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us, and we will check you guys out in part 2 in another day or two.
Cool. Later.